Good morning. Come on in. Come on in. Yes, maybe I can come close to you, all the way here. Yes, it is good to see you in the place of worship. You are at the right time, in the right place, with
the right people.
Amen. Amen. I'm so happy to see you and worship God with you. We have a few announcements. Loose coin this month will go to Rockford Urban Ministry. I mean, you probably know Rockford area. They have so many issues, especially gun violence. And this is the ministry working on gun violence, against gun violence. And I'm so happy we help them with our loose coin. And we continue to collect everyday essential for our local food pantry. So it's really beautiful. We help our people in our local community and beyond and more. I love this idea. And during the week, we had really fun days, high school youth gathering and kids stopping in July. I really enjoy the kids having fun. It was really nice. You can find some pictures on our church Facebook. And during the week, we will have ladies' luncheon this coming Thursday, 11:30. If you want to know more about that, please contact Beth Matthew. And this coming Tuesday, June teacher hour's funeral will be done in our church. As you know, Junti Chow, she has been a great person, great friend, amazing friend, and grandma to our church. Her visitation will be between 9:30 and 10:30, and funeral will be at 10:30 in our church. So please remember that. And if you have her picture, I'm going to make a video clip for her. So if you have her picture, so please give it to me. We need at least 40 pictures, but I have only 10 from the family. So if you find them, please let me know. And today our liturgist is Grace. Katie. Hey, Grace. Katie will lead us in our worship. Let's center our mind and worship God together.
Stand as you're able and join me in our call to worship. From fire and storm we come, O God.
Gather us in and make us whole.
From suffering and pain we come, Holy One.
Gather us in and make us one.
From the highways of life we come, Great Spirit.
Gather us in and make us your disciples.
Our opening hymn is The Gift of Love.
Joys and concerns as a family. great relationship, and we have our back, one another's back, and pray, support, and encourage one another.
Well, Judy and Paul asked me before the service started about how Debbie and her dad were doing, particularly her dad, and just keep them in your prayers. Her dad is clearly declining mentally. Yesterday, while Debbie was talking to him, he looked at her and said, "Now, where did Debbie go? Where do you?" And she's like, "I'm right here, Dad. Where do you live?" So he is, you know, clearly mentally declining. And look, we've all faced that with dementia and stuff, with people we know. So just whatever God's will is, just help us through it all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please remember Reverend Carson in your prayers. He is now physically and spiritually and emotionally challenged. Please remember him and Debbie and Bruce in your prayers.
Thank you.
She has been in that vicinity for years and years. I don't know. I met her first in that residency at the time. But she has been always in our leadership chart as an honorary member of membership care because her heart, love, and care has been deeply touched so many people. So it's a great loss to our community. So let us all family and our community, many members of our churches, in our prayers. Thank you so much.
I would just like to share with everyone that David and Roberta Fredericks work very diligently on our grounds here, and they just do a beautiful job. And it takes a tremendous amount of time. If you happen to see them, if you compliment them on that, I'm sure that they would appreciate that very much. And just as a little side note here, the burn that's out here on the back side of it, I put in hydrangeas, and I've had a horrible time trying to get them to be blue. These are gorgeous. They're beautiful blue. So if you really like blue hydrangeas, maybe take a look out there before you leave today.
I feel like they have a project, and once it is done, they have another vacation. Once they come back, another project, another vacation, another project, another vacation. They have been amazing, so thank you very much. And thank you so much for your prayers. As I told you last week, my COVID thing is gone, and I'm getting better, improving, but all of a sudden Friday morning, heavy congestion came back and attacked me again, and it's getting better. Now you saw me singing,
yes.
But still, so I'm improving. And thank you so much for your prayers. And let us continue to have many people whose life has been affected and impacted by war and inflation. And I think these days we have to pray for, usually I ask all of us to pray for the people who are seeking their job opportunity, but now, reverse, many companies and employers who are trying to find their employees. So let's pray for them as well. Let's turn to God and pray. Gracious God, we are so much blessed to live in a land of freedom. We may freely say we love you, we believe in you, and we believe you sent us, your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. Lord, in the upper room, those disciples, they were frightened. They were afraid of the people around because they could not speak of their faith. But unlike them, Lord, we don't know what it feels like because we have never been there. We have freedom to say we love you, and we invite you to lead and inspire and guide our lives in your path. And this morning we ask for your blessing upon the churches in our time and all places. Give us conviction and certainty of faith. Give us passion and give us trust and give us commitment to values, your values, Lord. Help us to see you in our very lives and give us courage to walk with you, Lord. You have given us your love and grace so we may be open to you and all the people, God. Help us acknowledge your grace and help us reach out to the lost and the suffering and deliver them your grace and love. God, this morning we remember many of our family members in this beautiful church and beyond. Remember each one of them as they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually challenged. We name each one of them, Lord. You know their names, you know their need, and you love them, each one of them. And also remember the people who are taking care of them. Give them strength and the light that only you can give it to them. Merciful God, we give you thanks as you express your love for us. You every day speak to us, I love you. I love you so much. You are not alone. I will be with you, Lord. Help us be your people after you, loving you and our neighbors more and more and more. Lord, we need you every single day. We need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, Word without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Let us sing together, More Precious Than Silver.
Lord, you are more costly than gold.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 and 11 through 13. The Lord saw the wickedness of humans was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humans on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the humans I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We have a small number of people today. I don't know, where are they? But I just want to come close to you. And usually my iPad is working well, but somehow this morning I found out, oh my goodness, where is my sermon? So I printed out. So old school type stuff. So we love the Bible, right? I love the Bible. I mean, it tells a lot. And many of you open your days, reading the Bible, meditating on it. I kept talking to you and encouraging you to read the Bible. Why? Then why? Why do we read the Bible and many old stories, maybe 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago? The Bible is not meant to tell us a sort of literal history. It surely has an ancient story, Israeli history, but it was not a reporter that was writing a part of history only. The Bible is not meant to say, hey guys, let me give you a history lesson. History lesson of the Israel people. No, it has more. It has more than that. The Bible is interested in teaching us who God is and who we are. And of course, they are rooted in some great, real fact, historical action, such as Noah's story of the flood. It is rooted in a massive flood, a lot of waters, and that is a fact. Literally happened 1,000 years ago. So when we read the Bible, it speaks to our heart and delivers a profound message of God into our mind and prove and provide the core of our faith. And these are the stories of God and God's people. And these are the archetypal stories. Archetypal means that it is like a prototype. There are so many prototypes of human beings, and we find ourselves one of them. So it is not simply a story of 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, somebody, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother. No, it is you find yourself in the Bible. So that's the beauty of this, reading the Bible. And the story of Noah is something that every generation, even in our time, can read and hear and say, you know, I think that I see myself in this Noah's story. It's me. Then am I in the ark or outside? You can think about that. That is an archetypal story. We find it. And what is God speaking to us with the story? So these stories in the Bible has a purpose. It tells us why we exist and what is happening around us. And it is not only what happened thousands of years ago, but also why we are here and what our purposes are, and what God is speaking to us in the 21st century. So it is really important to recognize this story has been told for thousands of years, and even before it was written down. So we assume Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. What I may say is, half is right, half is maybe questionable. We get to the end of the five books of Moses, and Moses died. And Moses clearly didn't write that part. Or some people make an argument, express their feeling. You know what? God spoke to Moses when he will die and where he would be buried. Okay, that's fine with me. But at some point you find Moses praised himself, saying Moses was a righteous man and humble. Then I'm scratching my head. What if I say, you know what, I am humble and I'm righteous. Do I sound like a humble person? You know what, I really believe, literally believe Moses was humble and righteous. And I don't think that part was not written by Moses. You know what I'm saying? But most of the part were written and handed down by Moses. That's what I believe. Anyway, it was written about 1400, some people say 1400 before Christ, or some people say 1200 before Christ, depending on some other historical facts. Yet, about the first story of the flood, which is Noah's story, you can find these flood stories in every ancient story of every single civilization around Israel. Mesopotamia, Babylonian, Persian, and Assyrian Empire, each of them, they had the flood story. They all. So Noah's flood, it is not something fictional. It is not a story somebody made it up. It was fact. And we know that Noah's ark, just before the flood, Noah led a pair of all kind of creatures in his ark. And let me ask you, if you are Noah, you led a pair of every kind of creatures, then what kind of animals or insect do you wish not welcome to the ark? I'm asking you, what kind of animals or insects? Yes.
Termites.
Oh, yes. And?
Wasps.
Right. Yes.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yes. Right. So many of them. How about snake? Mice, yes. I thought about snake. Rattlesnake, cobra, mambas, and what about python? And what about rat or spider? And I think Bruce talked about it. I do not understand why God let mosquitoes in the ark. I have no idea. Maybe God knows why.
I think they were hanging around on the outside.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. The Bible. It is the story that every generation can read and hear and listen to God. And we find ourselves in the story. We find God's word that speaks to our heart. When we read the Bible, when we read the story of Noah, we need to think why. Why the Bible tells us God sent the flood, the water. And what is it? What is it about God's heart, about humankind, and why God saved Noah and his family? We need to find ourselves and God's message in the story. And it is found, Genesis chapter 6, It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, that every inclination of the thought and their heart was only evil all the time. It's interesting. This story tells us that wickedness and evil are increasing in the world. It has to do with the thought, heart, and action we take. Every action, thought, and word toward God and the people around us. Everywhere, God sees evil, wickedness multiply. Every generation that was told this story, even before it was written down, it says, it is our generation. It is our generation in the 21st century as well. It is our story. And we see this happening in our time. People hurt one another. It says inclination of their heart was evil, but some old translation, or some other translation, for example, King James Version, it says imagination of their heart was evil. Interesting. Imagination. Their dream of their heart. Let's think about that. Your imagination and your dream, where does it come from? Part of what I know about myself is, you know, if I'm not careful, I keep thinking about me, 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 me. My dream is all about me. What I'm going to accomplish, what I'm going to do today, what's going to happen around me and for me, and what's going to be my next car, and what's going to be my next chapter of my life, what about my retirement? Me, 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 my, if I'm not careful. My imagination, my dream are only about me, and I find a little bit of space for God and God's will in my life. Then I want to ask you and myself, are the imagination of your heart focused on where or whom or what? Are those dreams all about me? How I may do something for me? Or how I can make a difference, manifest the love of God in my life? Is it about me, what I want, what I get, or what I can do for God and the people that God brings in my life? In the Bible, it seems like God was really, really disappointed in humankind because they were only dreaming dreams about themselves, not caring about other people. It was a world where people didn't care about what caused their fulfillment came to other people. Okay, it is about what I'm gonna have, but I don't care what it affects other people. The word here in the Hebrew Bible for evil and the wickedness, the Hebrew word is rasha, rasha. It means evil, criminal, but it also means disease, disease. It means when God looked at the people in Noah's time, it was like humanity became disease or cancer on the earth. And they displeased God. Their thought, action, imagination toward one another. And here is the text in verse 11 and 12. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, and all the flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Did you hear the two verses? In two verses, we find a word corrupt three times. Corrupt, corrupt, and corrupt. Corrupt in Hebrew often means polluted, ruined, spoiled, and destroyed. Destroyed. You remember at the beginning of the creation, God looked at what God has made and said, "Oh, it's good! It's good! It's good!" And when God looked at you, "Very good!" But now, God is grieving. All of a sudden, God is grieving. Because what God has made was being destroyed. It's interesting. We talk a lot about the environment. During the Lenten season, right after that one, we had photo contest about the beauty of our natures. We love it, right? We love the beauty of nature. We talk about that. But somehow, the environment has become a political issue. I don't know why. It has become a political issue. One party is going to say this way, and the other party is going to say about the environment another way. And we say, who is really responsible for the climate change or global warming? Is climate change even a matter? Or some people may say, you know what? Nature has its own ability, self-purification stuff, system. We don't have to worry about it. And all of a sudden, it has become a political issue. But it shouldn't be a political issue. And it was not in Noah's time. In Noah's story, God was disappointed. God wanted to stop them and fix God's creation by the flood. And thank God, God promised God is not going to use the flood anymore. The last century was the most technologically advanced in our human history. And the other side, we killed more human beings in wars, violence, and oppression than all the human history combined in one century. And we destroyed the earth in our endless development more than all of the human history combined, while we reached the maximum of technological advance in one century. That is our story. And I assume God grieves when God looks at human race. Now, it is really important to talk about a word, judgment, for a moment. You know, I love to talk about love. One of our church members said, "Paul, you always talk about love, 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 love. But sometimes I hear you saying blah, 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 blah. Because I keep talking the same one, love, God's love. I love to talk about that. That's the beauty of the Bible, right? And I don't preach much about judgment. But we need sometimes. We clearly need. I love to focus on God's love, justice, compassion, and mercy. But there are moments we have to understand that judgment is appropriate. We need to think about that. And there is one difference between our justice, our judgment, and God's judgment. When God brings judgment on us and the earth, God's judgment is redemptive. It is redemptive. God's judgment is not ours. Our judgment is like retrieve the judgment. We want to get even. We want to get fair in our sight. We want things to be right in our sight. But God's judgment is redemptive. It is like, how can I fix it? How can I make a transformation? How can I save them? Change for the new beginning. And we find it in verse 8. It says, when God, Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And verse 9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in the generation. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. What does that mean? He was righteous, blameless. I want to be like him. And what does that mean? To be righteous, it means to walk the right path, to do the right things in God's sight. And God's path is the right path. And in every situation, we try to do the right thing by God's will. Then what is that? We want to do that. We want to do that. We want to be righteous, blameless. Technically, in the Bible, blameless, that word doesn't mean perfect at all. Blameless doesn't mean perfection. Nobody can be perfect. The word blameless in Hebrew, it means he was sincere and he had integrity. It is like there is no difference between the person we say about who we are Sunday morning in the church and the person we are during the week at work, in your relationship with people in your neighborhood and family. Two people. Do you find the difference in you Sunday morning and during the week? Integrity. We are not perfect. But blameless doesn't mean perfection, but about integrity. We all make mistakes. You know what? Last week I talked with one of our beloved AV person. We love Logan and Isaac. Oh, look at his smile. Yeah, I love him. And whenever I say, God loves you, and there he is, and he shouted out, nothing you can do about it. You remember that, right? I talked to him after the conversation with him. I talked to him, you know what, Isaac, you are a brilliant young man. I love you. And he said, oh, I don't like that. What do you mean? I don't want to be a young man. Excuse me? Can you tell me more about that? I want to remain a boy. Why? Because he feels like when he becomes a young man, he has no room for mistake. He feels like he has to do all the things right without a mistake. So I talked to him, you know what, Isaac, I'm a middle-aged person, but I make a mistake every day. And my wife fix it, and the church fix it, and people around me who love me fix it. So it's fine. You are a brilliant young man. And I believe God still loves me. We all make mistakes. And blameless, the key word to be righteous, has nothing to do with perfection, but rather integrity. We intend to do the right thing. We strive toward that. But when we don't get it, we return to God and ask for God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace. And it says, Noah walked with God. Walking with God means not asking God, walk with me. God, this is what I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. So please, God, you better want to come with me. No. God, I want to walk with you. I want to go with you. What do you want me to do? Every day in the morning, you wake up and you pray, God, thank you for today. What do you want me to do? How can I manifest your love in my family, in my relationship with people at work, What do you want me to do? Walking with God means being mindful of God every day. Being mindful of God every day. Talking to God, praying to God, and listening to God. When you do that, our lives becomes worship to God.
Amen.
That is having a right relationship with God in our days. We walk with God. And that is the thing God found in Noah's heart in the middle of the world that was chaotic, corrupted, and destroyed. And my hope and prayers are we become the Noah of our time, walking with God. Amen. Oh, now I need to run for the communion. You know, I don't know about you, but these days I forget so many things and I blame COVID. I talked to my wife, you know what? I forget so many things because of the COVID. It's like a side effect, but maybe who knows? We forget about that sometimes. That's why I love the communion. We forget to walk with God, but every Sunday we gather together. And the bread, as we take the bread and wine, oh, I might forget something to be walking with God. But Lord, I'm going to do that again. I want to walk with you. Whenever we receive the communion, we say, yes, yes, Lord. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Bless each one of us, Lord, and these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Lord, as we make these bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, we need you. Help us walk with you. Amen. Please peel the first layer for the bread. This is the body of Jesus Christ, bread of heaven. And peel the second layer for the cup. This is the blood of Jesus Christ, cup of salvation. It is the time, at the 8 a.m. service, I encourage you to share the moment you have been grateful, something celebrate. What are they?
I enjoyed the rain the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
I had the windows open, and it was just coming down so nice, and listening to it in the leaves and stuff made me very happy.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel like the nature is singing, right? The rain falls. Thank you, Dad. Yes.
After many, many, many months of playing in my mom and dad's, a lot of people, we're almost there. Everything's gone.
Almost there. A long period of a project is almost done. Yes, mission accomplished. Yes.
Yesterday of moving Haley into her apartment out in Iowa City.
Yes, yes.
Older.
Uh-oh. No, 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 no. Queen, never be old, okay.
Uh-huh. Happy to say we found the dress, and surprisingly, it was reasonably priced. So that particular was a joy to my life. It was a beautiful dress. I'm just glad she found one that she really liked. It was fun to have that special time with her.
Mm-hmm. During the week, I went to see Jun a couple of times. I think it's more than a couple of times. And I found a young lady over there whose name was Ashley. And she was a nurse now over there. Oh, Ashley, I know you want to be a nurse. I didn't know you were working here. But Ashley says, oh, you come to see Jun. She's my patient. A little girl become a young lady, and now she's working. That was my joy. So.
Last weekend, Jan and myself and our daughter Emily spent time in Michigan with some family that we hadn't met before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful
occasion. Family time. That's so beautiful. When you turn on the news, when you listen to them, there are so many tragedy and some sad news and people hurting and getting hurt. But in our time, even in a dark moment, we find God walking with us. And it is our turn to walk with God and find God's blessing in our daily lives. And we find the light and hope. In this moment, with all the gratitude for God has done in our very lives, we present ourselves, our time, talent, and resource to God. Amen.
Join me in our prayer of dedication. Healing God, when we went astray, you purified us with fire and washed us clean in the waters of our baptism. In gratitude and thanks for your constant care and your many blessings, we return these gifts to you now, that they may bring hope and light to a world in need. Amen. Our closing hymn is When We Are Living.
When we are living, it is in Christ Jesus, and when we're dying, it is in the Lord. For in our living and in our dying, we belong to God, we belong to God. We bless one another. Once we searched and groped for God in darkness,
now we reside with Christ in glorious light.
Once we worried that God was far from us,
now we rejoice that God is close to us in our very breath.
Once we yearn for God's love and acceptance,
now we dwell in communion with God and with one another.
Let us go into the world boldly with God's love. God will go with you, teach you, inspire you, and guide you every day. Amen. More like you, Jesus, more like you. More like you, more like you. Touch my lips with holy fire, make me more.